Well, it's great to have all of you with us today. And if we haven't met yet, my name is Trevor, and I get the privilege and honor of being the pastor here at Radical Church. Come on, I got a couple of woos from the front. All right, there we go. And just really, really honored that you would be here today. And if you are new, want to thank you for coming. Fill out the Connect card in that seat back in front of you. You drop it off with one of our hosts at the end of service. You'll get a $5 Summer Moon gift card just for being our guest today. We hope that maybe you're a guest today, but a few weeks from now, you'll feel like family and start making some friends and find and follow Jesus together, right? And so I want to welcome you all here today. And let's pray as we get into the Word of God. Who's ready to get into the Word today? Come on now. Woo, it's going to be good. Here we go. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move through the Word today, that you would guide us and lead us, change us, shape us, mold us into the image of God. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for your word because it has the ability to do all of these things. And as we write the word of God on our heart, as David said, as we write the word of God's the word of God on our heart, that we now have the ability to speak that word out in the midst of situations that maybe we can't control or we don't have the answer to, but we can speak out the word of God. And say, Lord, I'm thankful I have this word written on my heart right now because I don't know what to do in this situation, but I'm gonna start speaking the word of God. I'm gonna start speaking the name of Jesus in this place. And I just believe that that has the ability to actually change situations in our lives, has the ability to change the way that we think. And so, Lord, I pray that as we look to your word, that you would help us to receive it. Open up our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds. In Jesus' name, somebody say, amen. Amen, amen. Well, man, we've been in this series called The Vow, and this is week 7. Somebody say, The Vow. Ooh, man, it's been a lot of fun. I hope you've enjoyed it so far. We got a couple of weeks left, and week 1 was about dating. Then we talked about, week 1 was singleness, and then dating, then marriage. We had week 2 of marriage, and then last week, I took you guys to school. We talked about sex ed last week, so if you missed it, then you were lucky, okay? Anyway, I'm messing with you, but go back and watch that, man, because sex God's way is obviously way better than sex culture's way. And the way that the world thinks about it, we got to get a biblical worldview for you and even for your children as well. And we're talking about something different today. I'm excited, though, but I want to start with a question. Do you know what a parent's guide is? Has anybody ever heard of a parent's guide, all right? Maybe you don't know what it is, but you might know when I tell you what it is, okay? So it is like a movie or TV show review thing. Like when you're trying to find a show for you or for your kids to watch, it helps parents make decisions on if their kids should watch a movie or a TV show or not. Now, I talked about last week that it's hard for my wife and I to find something for us to watch even. Everything's rated M for mature. And there's so many things that I don't want to see. And I don't want my wife seeing. I certainly don't want my kids seeing. But man, it's difficult even to find stuff for our kids to watch nowadays, is it not? Because what might seem like a cute little movie is like, oh my gosh, look at that little animated turtle. Like he's so adorable. But then that little turtle starts saying some stuff and you're like, oh Lord, no, like, I don't want you to be saying none of that. And so it could look really cute, but then it actually is something that you don't want your kids to see or to say, especially. So wouldn't it be nice if we had a parent's guide that helped in everyday parenting decisions with our kids? Should I put them in this school or should I put them in that school, right? Should I show them some tough love right now? Maybe I should show them a little bit of empathy and compassion right now. Should I let them fail and just they're gonna have to learn through this failure or should I step in to help right now? And parenting is just tough, y'all, because these questions, sometimes it might be a yes this time, but it might be a no next time, depending on the situation that you're in. It's so difficult. Parenting is just confusing. Can any parent say amen and back me up today? It's just hard. It's difficult. I got a hearty amen from the back over there. Okay. It's tough. We ask ourselves questions like these all the time. And if I could be honest, it feels like we don't even have the answers to many of these questions. Feels like we never do the right thing. And now I can't answer every question that every parent might have today because your kids and your situation and whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life, it's your context and you got to pray about what to do in specific situations. But there's a few things that we can do and a few things that we could talk about today that I think will help any parent that is in the room today. So the title is simply Parent's Guide. Now, this is not an exhaustive list of things that all parents should do, but these are a few things that God has been putting on my heart recently. So I want to go ahead and address the elephant in the room, which is that there are a lot of people that might not be parents in the room today, okay? You might not have kids yet. You might not even be dating yet, all right? And you're like, yo, I don't even want to think about kids right now. I'm just trying to find some love for myself, okay? So what I want you guys to do is I want you to think about your own upbringing. Think about how maybe your parents dealt with some of these things that we're talking about. Maybe how they handled them well or how they handled them maybe not so well. How did that affect you back then when you were a kid? And more importantly, how does that actually affect you today, even maybe as an adult? Maybe you send this to a friend that's struggling with their kids or with parenting right now. And certainly if you want to be a parent one day, if you want to have kids one day, then you better take some notes because this is stuff that'll help you later on. So as a Christian parent, one of the most difficult questions that we ask ourselves is this, and this is something I ask myself, and I think that many of you might ask too, is should I shelter my kids or should I send them out into the world? Do I keep them close to home and really just shelter them from all the bad things, or do I just need to get them out there into the world? Now, there's two different extremes on this scale of sheltering versus sending. One extreme is, I don't even wanna have kids. Maybe you've heard somebody say this before. I don't want to have kids because why would I want to bring children into this crazy world that we live in? Have you ever heard somebody say that before? Why would I want to bring kids into this world? It's crazy. It's evil. I don't want them to be corrupted. I don't want all this stuff to happen. But then on the other extreme, you have people that say, well, how else are we going to spread the good news of Jesus with people if we don't have 62 kids and send them out to be all missionaries? You know what I mean? We got to have a bunch of kids and get them out there. Tell them about Jesus. So those are kind of the two different extremes that you might hear or see, but I think most parents and most people are probably somewhere in the middle, right? Like, you have children, and I want my kids to love Jesus, but I also want them to be a light in the world at the same time. I don't want to put them in a church bubble to where they're just so sheltered from everything that they don't even have a context for the outside world, but I also don't want to expose them to things early that might corrupt them even from a young age. How do I do this the right way? How do I do it God's way? Well, the first question I'm gonna have all of us ask ourselves today is, am I parenting from faith or fear? Am I parenting from faith or fear? Listen, you know what the word of God says? Is that he has not given you a spirit of fear. Come on, I need somebody to say that. He has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That's what the word of God says. Man, I'm not gonna parent from a place of fear, but I'm gonna have faith for my children. And right before Moses was born, okay, we're gonna go all the way back to the book of Exodus here in a minute, but right before Moses was born, Pharaoh had made a decree that all newborn boys would be killed. So he had this problem that the Hebrew people that he had enslaved were actually rising up a little bit and they were gaining some more steam. There were more babies being born. And so there was more influence that they were having in Egypt while they were in captivity. He said, no, no, no. So all the newborn boys need to be cut off so that he can cut off that generation right there. But Moses's mother was having none of that, right? She had that baby boy and she was like, I am not gonna throw this kid anywhere. I am keeping this baby boy. She went full mama bear mode. Come on now. She's like, no, we are not doing that. And so this is what it says in the book of Hebrews. It says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. I want you to say those first two words. Somebody say, by faith. Man, parenting has to start by faith. Amen? Man, you gotta have a faith in God for yourself before you can have a faith in God for your kids. You gotta get yourself in a position to hear the voice of God, to feel the leading of the Holy Spirit. It all has to start with faith in God. You want your kids to have faith? Man, where is my faith at, right? It's gotta start with me. And then you got to get some faith for your kids that God has a plan for them, That God has a destiny for them. Man, I'm going to have some faith that the enemy has no control over my kids and over my household. You got to start declaring some stuff over your house. Amen. You got to start declaring, no. Satan and his demons have plans for my kids. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Man, we ain't messing with none of that. My kids are going to find and follow Jesus. This house is a house underneath Jesus. Come on, somebody, say amen today. I'm not parenting in fear. I'm going to believe that God's going to raise them up, guide them, give them a purpose and a destiny that is just for them. I want to parent by faith. Well, so you're like, okay, well, I want to parent by faith. So that means just send them out, right? Hey, just send them out into the world. That's what parenting by faith means. Hey, man, we're just going to trust that God's going to take care of them. Just whoop, get on out there and have fun. Well, not necessarily. Hold on a second. Because I think that there's something we see from this story about Moses and his mother that we got to talk about. So my first point is that you can actually shelter your children by faith. Shelter your children by faith. I want you to go back to that passage that we just looked at a second ago, where it says that by faith that his parents hid him. You see that? By faith, his parents hid him after he was born. Sometimes the most faith-filled thing that you can do as a parent is to shelter your kids actually from the world. Why is that? Because you're going to get some looks. You're going to get some eye rolls, right? Even from some Christian parents, you're going to get some eye rolls when you shelter your kids. Really? You don't let him watch PG-13 movies? I mean, he's 8. Like, he can handle it, you know, right? You don't let her on social media? Well, she's 13 now. You know, all her friends are on social media and everything. Like, it's probably, you know, she's probably going to get made fun of. So, I mean, like, you do you, whatever you want. You just kind of over-shelter them, all right? Your kids are going to push back on you too a little bit. You start sheltering them a little bit. Your kids will push back. Why can't we just do what everyone else does? Because you aren't like everyone else. You're different. Son, you're set apart, daughter of God. You're not like the rest of the world. You are called to be something different. And it says that Moses' parents believed that he was no ordinary child. I need some parents in the room today to start speaking that over their kids. But you know what? Listen, you're not an ordinary child. You're not going to be like everybody else because God has called you. He has set you apart. He has made you different. Man, we're going to serve God. This household is a household that serves the Lord. If the rest of the world doesn't serve God, we're going to serve the Lord. So you want to know why you're doing things a little bit different than all your friends? It's because we do things a little differently than the rest of the world does. That's how we live our lives. And just like Pharaoh, the devil wants to take out your kids. He wants to cut off a generation of children that are going to serve God, that are going to influence this world for Jesus. He wants to corrupt them even at a young age. Our culture right now is trying to tell our children that their identity is not found in Christ. When they don't go along with the status quo, it might come across as a little bit different to people that don't get it. That's because they are different. And they got to get comfortable in that. We have to get comfortable in that. Sometimes faith looks like sheltering them. It's not out of fear. It's actually out of faith. Because actually, when you think about it, I get nervous sometimes too, right? Because I don't want to just shelter my kids and put them in this bubble so much so that they end up being some little church brats. You know what I'm talking about? You know who those people are. You know those kids, little church brats, holier than thou, think they're better than everybody else. Man, I don't want my kid to be like that. So you actually have to have some faith by sheltering them because by not exposing them, they might think that they're better than everybody else. They might have this attitude or whatever it might be. There's some faith that goes into even sheltering your kids. In Exodus 2, this is actually the story of when Moses was being hidden. It says this, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son," talking about Moses. "When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And she placed the child in it, put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him." I want you to look at that last phrase. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Sometimes parenting by faith looks like standing at a distance to see what's going to happen to your kids. Oh, that's hard, isn't it? That's so tough. Because during the early formative years, you want to shout, you want to hold on to them. They're in your home and you're training them and you're loving on them. You're like, oh, I don't want you to get out into the world too early. I don't want you to be corrupted by the world and all this stuff. But sometimes the most faithful thing you can do is just hold their hand at a distance and not so close anymore. Sometimes you got to let them go a little bit farther and a little bit into the world. And you got to have some faith that God has got them. What do we even sing to our kids sometimes? He's got the whole world where? In his hands. That includes your children. All right? And yeah, sometimes we don't want to do that. God's got them. And then you stand at a distance, but then there comes a time when you also have to send your children by faith. You have to send your children by faith. In the story of Moses and his mom, we actually see both. It's very important that you catch this today. The same mom who hid Moses by faith and sheltered him a little bit by faith is the same mom that actually releases him into the house of Pharaoh by faith. So she sheltered him by faith and then she sent him by faith. The same mom with the same boy. And don't worry, parents, when you release your kids, when you send them out into the world, you'll get the same questions, but just from the other side now, right? You'll get the same eye rolls. Don't worry. How could you send your son to that public school? I thought you were a Christian parent. Right? You're going to let her hang out with that girl? I guess you do you. You know who she is, right? You sure you don't think that she's going to kind of corrupt your daughter or something like that? Or, you know, like she's going to start doing things the way that she does, you know? Hey, these are real conversations that you might have. Listen, there was a prophetic word that I heard from an amazing woman of God that I trust a whole lot. Her name is Dee Dee, and she was actually the one who helped us to kind of get started here. And I went back to my church in Oklahoma in December, just a few months back. Man, we were in the middle of worship and she had this word. It was just so powerful. And I built the entire message actually around this thing that she said. She started praying and speaking out in a prophetic way. It was beautiful. She said, you know, it might seem like that you're going through the Nile and you've been placed in a basket and you're going through the Nile and you're picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. But God wants us to know today that God's purposes are built even in the house of Pharaoh. And that's a good word, isn't it? That God's purposes are built in the house of Pharaoh. You think that God can't work in Pharaoh's house? How small do you think that God is, right? What limited thinking do we have of God that we think that he can only work in certain ways and in certain places and in certain spaces? Listen, when I look at the house of Pharaoh and what God did through the house of Pharaoh, it's an embarrassment to the devil. It is. Because that God raised up the deliverer of the Hebrew people from right underneath the nose of the guy that was persecuting the people. It was in his own house. God raised up Moses right in the same house of Pharaoh that was persecuting his own people. What an embarrassment for the devil, right? He had to be so mad that God pulled that one off. You think that God can't work in Pharaoh's house? Listen, God works in the homes of good Christian families. He works in Christian schools, but God also works in our public school system too. Come on, somebody say amen. I need some teachers to say amen today. Come on now. God works through our public schools. It might seem and it might feel like the house of Pharaoh sometimes. It might look like the world, but let me tell you, there is a revival happening in our schools right here in Kyle and Buda because of our students that are in those schools, amen? Because of our teachers that are in this church, even sitting in this room right now, they're helping to bring revival to our public schools. That would never happen unless they were in the schools. Would never happen. God is raising up a generation of young people that are going to start bringing revival, bringing hope, and bringing peace to these schools. And listen, you might not have the choice. Maybe you got some young kids here today. You might not have the choice where you send your kids. I know some people have the opportunity maybe to say, hey, I'm going to homeschool, or I'm going to send my kids to a Christian school or a private school or a charter school or wherever, or be able to pick a certain public school that you might like. I understand some people might have that option and some people might not. At the end of the day, if you send your kids into a public school, this is what you need to do. You better train them up in the ways of the Lord at home. You get them in church and then you send them into that school by faith, not by fear. You send them into that school with the authority of Jesus Christ. Not saying, oh Lord, I just hope that, no, that's not how we're gonna parent, You train them up in the ways of the Lord, and then you have faith that God has got them and that your kid is gonna be the difference maker in that school, amen? Have some faith, start speaking some life over your kids, start declaring some hope over your children. Don't declare defeat over your kids before they've even got to the battle. Declare some faith over them in the name of Jesus, man. Listen, so whether you shelter by faith, whether you send by faith, you gotta get your kids close to Jesus. Oh man, I'm telling you, this is the biggest thing. No matter what you choose to do, at the end of the day, you gotta get your kids close to Jesus. Matthew 19 says, the people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them, but the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. He placed his hands on them and he went on from there. These parents, they brought their children to the feet of Jesus. They brought them up to Jesus. They were just playing. They were just like running around him, you know? How many of y'all know you got some crazy kids sometimes? Like even in the church, we got some kids after service that'll be running through the rows and jumping on the chairs and breaking the chairs. And, you know, hey, at the end of the day, we got youth that meets here on a Wednesday night. We got 6th through 12th grade that comes in here and they mess things up in the room. And, you know, there's all kinds of problems that, you know, we got to clean up after them. You should see the bathrooms after youth on a Wednesday night. You know what I'm saying? You know what that is, though? Let the kids come. Let the kids play in here. Why? Because I would rather them be in here than out partying somewhere else. I'd rather them be in the house of God than go do some. There's balloons up there right now. You know what I'm saying? Like there's all kinds of crap because they had Galentine's the other night. Was it last night? Was it last night? All the girls were in here. They had balloons up there. I don't care about the balloons. We're fine. That's our youth pastor back there. Let them come. Let them worship at the front, at the foot of Jesus. Why? Because if you don't let them do that here and you say, no, we got to make sure that everything looks perfect and everything. No, man, listen, this is about the kids sitting at the feet of Jesus, being around Jesus, being in the presence of God. That's what it's all about. Bring your kids to church. If you're here today and you brought your kids, praise God for you. You're watching online. Man, I hope that you have your kids gathered up around you right now. Listen, bring your kids to the foot of Jesus. 1 Samuel 28, we're going to talk about Hannah and Samuel for a second. Oh, she was a mama that brought her kid to the foot of Jesus, okay? So now I give him to the Lord. She's dedicating him. Now I give Samuel to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah brought Samuel into the temple. She dedicated that boy like we just did with all these amazing babies. We had 6 in first service, 3 in this service. We'll have another 6 in the next 2 services. Listen, these babies that were up here, I just want you to understand, like these babies did not have a choice as to whether they were going to get dedicated today, right? They weren't able to consent to that, right? People are like, we got to let your kids decide if they want to come to church or not. Excuse me, who is the parent here? Are you running this house or are your kids running the house? Because we live in a culture now that is increasingly ran by our children rather than the parents. I just need some parents that are willing to set the tone and say, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to go to church. You get up and you get in the car. But Joshua is the one that said that. Joshua said, Joshua was such a dad. I love Joshua. I just imagine him. He's like, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And the kids are all complaining. Daddy, do we have to go to the temple today? Be quiet and get on the camel. Shut your mouth, boy. We're going to go worship. You worship Jesus. You stand in the presence of God. Oh, you sit down and play on that iPad on your little papyrus tablet, writing stuff and sending a little stone note to your friend. No. You stand up and you worship. I don't know if that's good parenting. Absolutely, it's good parenting. Teach your kids to reverence the presence of God. I just think that we need some parents that are bold enough to set the standard for their families. Any parents out there that are willing to lead the way today, come on, we need to have some parents. While your children are figuring out their faith, you got to just put them in the position to have faith. You got to get them around Jesus. Why? Because 84% of people that get saved do so before the age of 18. 84%. Most of those are actually before the age of 14. And I found Jesus from a young age because I was around Jesus from a young age. And my parents made me go to church when I was young. I didn't always want to go, but they made me go. But then when I got older, I loved church so much, they had to ground me from going to church. I kid you not. I wouldn't do my homework. And I'd be like, I'm going to youth group. And they were like, no, you're not. You stay home and you do your homework and then you can go to youth. I'm like, no, mom. Now, as a parenting tactic, grounding your kids from church, not so sure I could get behind that one, okay? But listen, the point remains is that I loved church so much that my parents actually had to tell me, no, you can't go because you have other responsibilities that you have been neglecting. I wanted to go so bad because I wanted to be around God. I wanted to be around the people of God. I wanted to be in the presence of God. And it was no longer their choice and their decision for me to go to church. I wanted to do it, right? So today, it might be your decision that your kids go to church, but you just got to pray that one day it will become their decision to want to go to church. Amen? So Samuel's a young boy. He's serving in the temple with Eli the prophet. Okay, so Hannah literally gives up her son and says, hey, I want you to be in service to God. You're going to go train in the temple with Eli. So one night, God calls to Samuel. 1 Samuel 3, 4 through 6. The Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. He ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now, parents in the room, you know this struggle already. You already know that Eli is like, go lie down. What is wrong with you? You know? And here's the deal. I feel bad for this. Eli is old at this point. It actually says in the verses right before this, his eyes barely worked. So he's like this old man that's got this little turd of a kid getting out of bed in the middle of the night saying, ah, I need some water. I heard something. Like parents, you know, you've already dealt with that before. You already know. I was like, I heard you call me. No, I didn't. Go back to bed. Comes back. Did you call me again? No, I did not. Boy, get back in bed. I am old and tired. I got to sleep. I feel bad for Eli. 1 Samuel 3:7. Let's keep moving. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Watch this. Samuel is in the house of God with one of the top leaders of the faith at the time, but he's a young boy and it says he doesn't actually know the Lord yet. Interesting. He's around God, but he doesn't know God yet. He's in church. Samuel, he's in church. He's in Rad Kids. He's serving on the Rad team. As a young man, he's serving, he's helping, and he's interning, right? He's an intern with the kids department. But he still doesn't really know God yet. He's in the right place. He's with the right people. And then God is about to reveal his purpose through that. And so I want to put it to you this way. Get your kids in the right places, with the right people. God will take care of their purpose. Right places, right people. God will take care of their purpose. Now, I went to private school my whole life. It's a Christian school. And if I'm a little weird, you know why now. Okay, so my parents both went to public school, but they made a choice pretty early on. They wanted me to be in a good Christian school, Christian educators, Christian curriculum, all that stuff. Just like Hannah, they dedicated me to God and they sent me into that place. They turned me over to the right people in the right place. And my purpose really did flow out of that. I started singing from a young age. I started playing guitar. And so there came a time when my youth leader, actually, he was like the worship leader for the youth, saw something in me. And he said, hey, I want you to play electric guitar. I just started playing electric guitar. I was 10 years old, okay? And he said, why don't you come up on stage with us and you can actually play on the worship team? I was like, oh, you want me to play in the worship team? He's like, yeah, you can play in the worship team. Now, was I good? No, I was terrible. They had me turned off, okay? I didn't know that. I could hear myself in my ears. None of the people could hear me, okay? Because it would have been a train wreck. I was also way back in the corner. Like, you see where these drums are? I was like behind the curtain, basically. Like way, way back there in the dark. No one could even see. But I was excited, right? I loved it. I was pumped because I was a part of something. I was in proximity to the people of God. I was on stage with them. I was backstage. I would watch how they led their Bible study before the service, and they would pray for people and interact with people. And then I started playing in my school chapel when I started to actually get a little bit better. I was 15 years old now. I started writing some music. My pastor came to me, and if you know, many of you might know the church. It's called Shoreline up in Round Rock. That's where I grew up. It's where I went to school and where I went to church. And so my pastor comes in and says, hey, I heard the song you played in chapel. You should play that in front of the whole church. Now, if you know that church, it's a couple thousand people in there, okay? So I'm by myself, 15 years old, with a guitar, playing in front of a couple thousand people, a song that I wrote, never played in front of people like this before. And it was in that moment that God actually said, this is what you're gonna do for the rest of your life. And he called me into ministry right there. My life was forever changed. But listen, that never would have happened had I not been in the right place with the right people. Now, does that mean that every child has to be in a Christian school and never miss church to find their purpose? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. But there is something to be said for proximity. Why do so many professional athletes have children that go on to also play professional sports? Why? Because of proximity to professional athletes. Their parents are the ones that actually train them. Most of them are trained by their parents. They're in close proximity to athletes all day, every day. They're exposed to the sport from a young age. They have early access to the training, facilities, coaching. And what do you think is the natural result of that? Well, of course, they're gonna be pretty good. Why? Because they were close to people who were also good at the sport at a professional level. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will play in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that not what it says? Oh, my bad. But train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. It's the same idea with your faith and with your kids. Get your children around people who love God, and eventually, they will probably love God as well. Joshua, actually, it says that he was around Moses from a young age. We've been talking about Moses this whole time, right? Moses grows up and becomes a great man of God, a great leader of all the people of Israel. But then it says Joshua, who actually was the next leader to come after, he was Moses' aide from a young boy. From the time he was very young, he was just with Moses. He was helping Moses. He would go to the temple with Moses. It says that Moses would actually have his face, he would come out from praying, and he would have to cover his face because the glory of the Lord was just shining on him to the point where it would actually scare the people. So he would put a cover over his face. Moses would go leave, but then Joshua would linger at the temple for a little longer. He would sit in the presence of God a little bit more. A lot of people don't know this. When Moses goes up to the mountain to go meet with God, right? And he gets the Ten Commandments and all this stuff. He has to go up to the mountain to meet with the Lord. It says that Joshua actually went with him. Joshua didn't go all the way up to the top, but he walked along the path to the mountain with Moses. You think they're not having conversations along the way? You think they're not talking? You think they're not, he's not learning from Moses? And then he stays at the bottom of the mountain while the glory of the Lord is up there with Moses. Man, he was with him. The disciples were with Jesus. And Samuel was with and close to Eli. 1 Samuel 3, let's keep going here. The third time the Lord called, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Eli figured it out. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Samuel did not know the Lord yet because he was young. He didn't know how to hear the voice of God yet. But God was calling him, was he not? God was calling. Samuel didn't know how to hear it yet. You know who did know how to hear the voice of God? Eli. Our job as parents is to help our children hear the voice of God. It's to lead our children to the foot of Jesus. Because your kids, sometimes they're not going to know God. They're not going to understand how to hear his voice. But here's the deal. You have to be able to hear the voice of God for yourself before you can ever hear the voice of God for your kids. You have to have a faith in God for yourself and for your spouse before you can have a faith for your kids. And so whether or not you are a parent today, or whether maybe you never want to be a parent, at the end of the day, here's the deal. You got to have some faith in God for you. And there are going to be some young people that you're going to be able to mentor, whether or not they're your own kids or whether or not they're somebody else's kids, or you want to help some young people that live in a fatherless home and you want to mentor. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to have young people in your life. You got to get a faith in God for yourself so that you can have a faith in God for them. Because then you could teach them to hear for themselves, like Eli does with Samuel. He says, hey, listen, this is God. I want you to go back, and I want you to say this. I want you to do this. I want you to listen to what God has to say. But I want you to notice something. This is the whole point of this entire message. So if you've been tuning out, now's the time to lean in, okay? I want you to catch this. Ready? Samuel does not become Samuel unless he was sent into the house of Eli. But Moses doesn't become Moses unless he was sent into the house of Pharaoh. One child was in Christian school, the other child was in public school. One was sheltered and one was sent. Both mothers did so by faith, and both of their sons ended up serving God faithfully. I just need you to catch that. That God might call you to parent your kids in a different way than another parent. Because you know your kids are both different. You might have three or four kids. Every single one of them is different. You're like, how are y'all even in the same house? Are you being raised by the same people? Because y'all are all crazy and you're all different. I don't understand. You're quiet and you're loud. You're reserved and you're you. You know, you're really smart and book smart, and you love doing sports and different things like that. You have different interests and different hobbies and all that. How could you be just so different? But sometimes God will call you to parent each child differently. Like, do I need to parent them the same? Do I need to parent them differently? And then in your family, you might have to do things differently than another family does. But listen, at the end of the day, I want you to catch that. Is that one child was sent by faith into the temple, into the house of God, served God the rest of his life. Another was in the house of Pharaoh and ended up serving God for the rest of his life too. Give yourself some grace, parents. The way that God calls you to parent, the choices that you have to make, if it's Holy Spirit driven, God will take care of their purpose. I promise you. You're not always going to do the right thing. You're not always going to say the right thing. They're going to give you some attitude. Oh, Lord Jesus, you're going to clap back at them sometimes. Mm-mm. You don't talk to me like that. You're going to say some things that you regret. You might have to ask your kids for forgiveness sometimes. You're going to make the wrong choice. You're going to miss a game. You're going to miss a recital. You're going to miss a big moment in their lives. You're going to break a promise. You're going to fail, all right? You're just going to fail. It is what it is. You might say, well, I sheltered them maybe when I should have sent them. And then there will be other times you say, man, I sent them when I probably should have sheltered them. At the end of the day, the only thing that I could tell you is just keep showing up. Keep getting better. And keep praying for your kids. Pray for your children. Speak life over your children. Have faith for your children, that no matter where they end up, no matter what school they're in, no matter what people they're around, no matter what happens, listen, you get them around the people of God, you put them in the right places with the right people as best you can, and you pray for those kids, and then you do not parent from a place of fear, but you say, I'm gonna have some faith that God is gonna take control of their lives and the enemy has no authority over them. You start declaring those things over your kids in the name of Jesus. Keep bringing them to the feet of Jesus. And when they get older, you're gonna have to have some faith that when they're out in the world, that when they finally get out into the house of Pharaoh, because you gotta let them go at some point, that God's purposes can still be built in the house of Pharaoh, and that his purposes and the destiny that he has for your kids can still be built within them, no matter where they find themselves, all right? I wanna pray for somebody today. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, there's some people in the room today that just needed to be encouraged by this word, that sometimes we shelter, sometimes we send, and these decisions that we make, it's hard. It would be so easy if there was just a parent's guide that you could give us, and we would just have all the answers. We could just type in a question, and Lord, you could send it back the right answer, the thing to do, but it's just not like that. It's hard. And every decision and everything that we do, it's different, even per kid and all this. It could be so confusing. But Lord, I just pray over some parents right now that they would be able to hear the voice of God for themselves and then hear the voice of God for their children and then help their children to hear the voice of God for themselves. That's our goal as parents. God, I pray that you would help them to have some grace for themselves, because there's many parents in the room that are already struggling, saying, well, I should have done this differently. I should have done that better. I could have done this differently. Maybe what about this? And they have decisions that they're worried about and they're struggling with. And Lord, I just pray that you would give them a peace about the decisions they need to make for their family, and that it wouldn't come from their own decisions, but God, it would be because they have sat in the presence of the Lord and you have guided and you have counseled and you have instructed us to make the decisions that we make with our kids. Help us to parent from faith and not from fear today. And trust that the purposes of God will be built within the next generation. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, somebody say amen today. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, let's give God some praise today. Come on. I want to encourage you with two things as we leave today. Number one, we have Rad Girl coming up on Thursday, all right? Ladies in the house, I want to see you here. By I want to see you here, I mean my wife wants to see you here, because I'm not allowed here, okay? And that's right, amen. And then the second thing is, man, if you are a part of the church family here at Radical, today's blessed you, and you want to be a part of giving and helping more people find and follow Jesus, I encourage you to do that. There's an envelope in the seat bag in front of you. You can scan the QR code. Man, be a part of the solution. Be a part of people finding hope in Jesus Christ all across Hayes County and all around the world. Hey guys, we love you so much. We'll see you next week. God bless you.